Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
Welcome to Travolting, hosted by Jeff Sweeney and Stuart Elmore, covering moment by moment. Enjoy the episode.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey. Welcome to the episode, everyone.
Are you ready to talk about moment by moment?
Yeah, welcome to Moment by Moment. A movie that we've been itching to talk about. Probably John Travolta's greatest work.
No, it's not. It's not. I don't even want you to do this bit.
This is a movie...
I changed my mind. I don't even want you to do this bit.
First and foremost, thank you all for listening. And thank you for joining us last week for Grease. We hope you enjoyed it.
We enjoyed it.
We hope you enjoyed us talking about a good movie.
Yeah.
This week we're talking about a movie that doesn't exist.
It really doesn't.
It's called Moment by Moment. It's not available to watch literally anywhere.
You have to buy it on DVD.
I had to buy like a bootleg. It's not even a bootleg. It was like an unofficial DVD release.
Where'd you get it?
It's from
Amazon?
I got it from eBay.
eBay?
I got it from eBay.
You had to get it from eBay? It's not even like available on Amazon?
It's on Amazon, but I got it from eBay.
But like on Amazon, you have to buy the DVD.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like an official. I think it's an official-ish release.
I'm looking it up on Amazon, but you couldn't even get subtitles.
Yeah, it was one of those DVDs where you put it in. It pops up with a poster of the movie and the word play movie next to it.
It was play movie, and there was a scene selection.
There was
option,
scene selection, but there's no
special features.
No languages.
There's no languages. There's no, moment by moment, non-USA format, PAL, Regulation 2 import from Germany. So far, no good. I can't find this on Amazon. Yeah, this movie really doesn't exist.
Yeah, this movie doesn't exist.
They erased it from history.
It came out in 1978.
But we found it.
In the midst of the Carter administration.
Yeah.
1978. It was directed, supposedly directed, as we don't know if it exists, by Jane Wagner.
It was the only film.
Yes. She's actually Lily Tomlin's wife.
Oh.
Like the star of this movie.
Wow.
It's her wife and a comedy writer. Seemingly, this movie was like just put together very quickly. But yeah.
How do they green light this movie?
I can tell you exactly how.
How?
So, John Travolta had signed a 3-picture deal with Robert Stigwood around the time of Saturday Night Fever.
Wow.
Agreeing that he would do 3 movies with this man.
Yeah.
And he did Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah.
The man produced Grease as well.
Yeah.
And they're looking for their next big hit. Mm-hmm. Who's another big star, 1978, Lily Tomlin.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, let's put them together, Travolta and Tomlin. The match made for the ages. Who's going to direct it? Tomlin's wife. They can... I mean,
and write it.
Yes, and write it. Seems like a surefire hit. It was not, dear reader.
yeah, it most certainly was not.
Yes, but it was part of Travolta's 3-picture deal. It was what ended his 3-picture deal with this producer, who I don't believe he worked with again. So this is very much kind of almost a throwaway movie in a lot of respects.
Yeah.
Here's a quote from. From a Los Angeles magazine at the time of its production. This is from a source on set. The chemistry between Tomlin and Travolta began to rival that of Menachem Begin and Yasser Arafat, in the most 1978 reference ever. The Camp David Accords were occurring around this time, I suppose. Crew staff members also quoted saying, 2 weeks into the shooting on location in Malibu, there was nobody on the set that didn't know we were in the middle of a turkey. It was like being on the voyage of the damned.
Jesus Christ.
So your two cast members are being compared to Behin and Arafat. And you're being told that the crew thinks it was like working on the Voyage of the Damned.
Not looking good.
No one really had faith in this movie, seemingly.
Yeah.
Didn't they
like take it all out of theaters almost right away?
Yeah, it did not last. I made a weirdly decent amount of money. It made $11 million, which like isn't good for what they were hoping for, but it made over its budget, not accounting for marketing and all that.
It probably was because of the marketing that it made that much money. That it's like, hey, you like John Travolta?
You like Lily Tomlin? Have I got a deal for you?
And then you watch this movie. How many people do you think walked out of the theater?
So many.
Because I wanted to shut this movie off.
I zoned out at one point
so
in this movie.
So many times. I like took notes, but I stopped. Like, I don't even think I was halfway through this movie when I stopped taking notes.
I'm not going to say this is a boring movie.
No, it is.
This is.
No, it is.
No. No, Here's what it is.
What is it?
It is the least exciting movie I've ever seen.
That's boring.
Essentially, but I think it is important to emphasize this is beyond boring in that it is just the least exciting. There's like next to no music. Most of the scenes are just people walking at each other.
Nothing exciting happens.
It is rated PG, so even on the most baseline level of ways to get people to watch this movie, there's no like nudity or sex.
Yeah.
Every sex scene is they turn the lights off and then you just see an amorphous blob in the middle of the screen moving.
Yep.
For 2 minutes. And every now and again a saxophone will pop in.
Oh yeah, the saxophone. I forgot about the saxophone
score. Fun fact,
score.
The Bee Gees apparently wrote a song for this movie.
Oh, I heard of this.
But when they watched a rough cut, they refused to let it be in the movie.
It's that bad.
This is a real rough movie. This is not the beginning of Travolta's fall, because he does have another hit or two after this, but it is a harbinger of what's to come in the 80s.
Yeah. I gotta be real with our audience here. This is gonna be a rough one.
We're not gonna have too much to talk. I mean, no, we're gonna have a lot to talk about, honestly. This is gonna be our best episode yet.
I like that you're setting the bar high for this, but I just don't know if we're gonna be able to deliver.
Yes. No, it. I think there's a quote from Lily Tomlin in the publicity for this movie that I found that I think is actually essential for our thesis of this podcast.
Okay.
She talks about working with John Travolta, and she says, the first thing you notice about him is how sensitive he is and how sexy. But beyond that, it's as if he had every contradiction in him. Masculinity, femininity, refinement, crudity. It's all there. He has everything. It's incredible. Which is, on one hand, publicity talk.
It makes sense with, like, you know, after this, we're going to do our Urban Cowboy episode.
Yeah, we haven't recorded that yet.
We haven't recorded that yet. when we do, we are going to talk about, you know, John Travolta's vast of masculinity.
We have absolutely not recorded Urban Cowboy yet in anticipation of trying to delay recording this episode. Hasn't happened.
That wasn't the case.
But, I think that quote kind of summarizes what we're investigating here, which is John Travolta. What is it about him as an actor? Like, what draws him to a project? What is he trying to accomplish? And I think a main part of that is his contradictions as an actor.
Yeah.
That he is a very masculine man who's always toying with femininity. That he has like a very attractive face. He's very refined, but he's willing to be crude.
Yeah.
And it's those contradictions that make so many of his most special performances as special as they are. Like Saturday Night Fever and Urban Cowboy.
Right.
Being these masculine men having to break down their masculinity. Or Grease, where it's about a masculine man just reemphasizing his masculinity, pushing away his femininity. And that so much of his career is about that, I think, is part of what makes this movie.
And then we get Hairspray.
It's what makes this movie a little bit of a failure, in that, as a lot of filmmakers in the 80s will fail to do, this movie doesn't really do anything interesting with John Travolta.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything with his persona. It doesn't do anything with his abilities as an actor. He is present, and he delivers lines, but it's not investigating anything about him. And the only good John Travolta performances are when they're investigating something about him.
Interesting.
And he has the opportunity to investigate that within himself.
That's a good point, Jeff. I never thought about that before.
Yes. Because all these movies that we've watched, I mean, Devil's Reign aside, because that's just him as supporting, like, zombie Satanist man.
Yeah.
But they've all been investigations into the persona of John Travolta.
Even Carrie, one might say.
Even Carrie.
Yeah.
And this is the first one we're seeing where people are just kind of pushing him into a traditional leading man role.
Which you really can't do with Travolta.
He does not excel at. He's fine. He's competent for the most part. But it's not where his talents lie. And we're going to be dealing with this a lot until we get to Pulp Fiction.
yeah.
When he has that career revitalization.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you said it best, is that John Travolta really is just in this movie, but like just reading lines, looking cute, taking his shirt off every once in a while.
He's looking cute in this movie.
This is like this is Robert Pattinson's Twilight for John Travolta.
Yeah, where he's present saying things.
Where it's like, he's there, he's saying lines, he's there to look cute, but not really much do anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what he does in this movie? He's creepy.
He's very stalkerish.
This is very Boy in the Plastic Bubble core.
Very stalkerish.
He's a little weird in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But we start off. We might as well just dive into this movie. Because that we've gone over all the context that we can.
We can't stall anymore, can we? We got to talk about the actual fucking movie.
Yeah, because we've been able to really just talk about other movies and their themes and, you know, how Travolta fits into that. We do not have that with this movie.
No, we don't. Okay,
but
so.
It starts off with a tracking shot of Lily Tomlin walking down the streets of Beverly Hills.
With not Staying Alive playing in the background.
Yeah, with just a saxophone playing. And every now and again, a superimposed logo of a fashion company will appear. Something like that. A fashion logo will just appear.
Yeah.
And then it disappears and it's like never acknowledged again.
Yep.
This movie has nothing really to do with fashion. Seeing a lot of fashion logos.
Not really. Well, I think it's to show that she is a like stay-at-home housewife that doesn't really work.
Yeah, and that she's high class.
And so she spends her time going to these high class places and living the fancy schmancy life with her money.
Yeah.
But there's no substance behind it.
But she's walking to the pharmacy.
Yeah.
And then we cut to John Travolta also walking to said pharmacy. And he's like striding down the street in like denim or whatever he's wearing.
Right. I think he has a yellow shirt on.
He has a shirt on at this point. He does not have a shirt on later in the movie, but he does have a shirt on for this.
Right. Scene. Yeah.
He's walking. The long hair is back after its absence in Greece.
We get a Boy in Plastic Bubble length hair again. You know, where I would rank this movie is probably right alongside with Boy in the Plastic Bubble here. Like, it's just a little bit out of control. Again, for folks who are paying attention to the hair review segment of the show is, I should clarify my long hair Travolta desire. And that is because, like, Carrie was the best long hair Travolta form. It was fitted. It was stylized. It was well-mannered. Whereas Boy in the Plastic Bubble was a boy who had never gotten a haircut, who barely washes his hair, and it was just long, lanky, flowing, messy hair. This is kind of like that too, because we're going to get to this later on, but we find out he's like a homeless drifter, basically, which kind of explains a long hair look for him. So, yeah, that I would put this right along Boy in the Plastic Bubble, like tied for that. And this has been the Hair Review, brought to you by Stuart Elmore, following the Travolting Podcast.
So Lily Tomlin walks into this pharmacy.
Yeah.
She goes up and she's like, I need my pills.
Yes.
And for some reason, they can't give them to her.
They're like sleeping pills.
Oh, yeah, they're sleeping pills, and I can't remember why she can't get them.
Something about, like, expiration,
maybe? Her script expired, or, like, she just...
See, this is why I watch movies with subtitles, so I don't miss, like, important pieces of dialogue.
Yeah, I mean... Medicare in this country, am I right? Well, she's unable to get her sleeping pills.
Well, she's rich enough to have her own private insurance, but of course, whatever.
She's there, and then she's told she can't get her sleeping pills, and then
Travolta walks up.
Yeah, and by the way, he's playing a character named Strip.
We didn't even say that yet.
Yeah, his character's named Strip.
his name is Strip. And I say it just like that because there are multiple times in the movie where it's a very sensual scene when they're making love or kissing, and Lily Tomlin is just saying, strip.
And her name is Trisha. Like, short for Patricia, but just Trisha.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea what her name was.
Okay. I watched this movie a little under or over a week ago, and I've forgotten most of it.
I just wrote down Tomlin. Whenever I wrote down plot points, I wrote down Tomlin. I never even...
This is, as I said, the least exciting movie I've ever seen, but we will endure for you folks. We will talk about this whole movie if it kills us. All hour and 45 minutes of it.
Too long.
A little too long.
Something I have to mention is she's still up at the pharmacy trying to argue with the pharmacist. John Travolta arrives and gets like really close to her.
Yes.
Like almost like this is like the fifth scene that they shot in the movie already after like two love scenes.
Part in production when they're on the voyage of the damnedest cruise.
Well, like, you know, like a normal person. And I know we're living in a COVID age. Yeah. So like personal space has definitely changed in our culture. But like he is literally like he's got his arm around her.
He's being weird.
He's like really hovering over Lily Tomlin. Like I think even in 1978, this would be getting into her bubble a little bit.
But she leaves.
She leaves. But what does Travolta need?
He needs to find his friend Greg. That's who we never see in this movie.
We've never see him in this movie, but there's always a looming figure named Greg. I like to think that there is a figure named Old Greg.
Yes.
And that's who he's referring to is, Old Greg.
Well, Greg does meet his end on this movie. unfortunately,
we don't see him meet his end. We're just told that
a lightning bolt strikes the electric.
No, we haven't gotten to that yet. That's way later.
I forgot we haven't talked about.
Talked about Urban Cowboy.
What do you mean?
What do I mean?
Why would that relate to Urban Cowboy?
I don't know why that would.
I was just saying he gets struck by lightning.
But we got it.
Anyway. He's asking for his friend Greg, but Greg was fired.
He was fired.
And they're like, you'll be fired too, bum, even though he doesn't work there. They say something along that line.
They say something police.
Yeah. And so Strip leaves.
Strip leaves.
And he follows Trisha.
Yeah. To what? A jewelry store or another pharmacy?
Some store. I think it's a grocery store. Oh, no, jewelry store. You're right. It's a store. He follows her in. He's like, hey, you know, I met you once before. And
that's right. He fills her in on the context of how he knows her.
And she's like, great.
Well, because he says, I was your valet driver like last summer or something. Yeah, so and that
he was like, I was a valet at the event. She's like, why are you following me? And he's like, oh, I just want to say thanks for covering for him. And she's like, I have no memory of what you're talking about.
Because
he showed up high to work.
Yeah.
And he dented a car. And then she said she dented it. Oh, wait, no, she dented the car and then fessed up to it instead of blaming him, which he thought she was going to do.
I don't remember any of this.
So
I just remember him saying something about being a valet.
Yeah, so she says he was a valet at a party she was holding with her husband, who she's getting divorced with now.
That's right.
She's getting divorced with her husband.
She is whose name is?
Bert? Is it Bert?
Stu.
Oh, Stu. Yeah, his name's Stu.
The husband's name is Stu.
The actor's name is Bert.
That was the point in time where I was falling asleep in my futon, and I heard her over the phone say something about Stu, and I perked up. I'm like, what? Yeah. What?
But,
whenever there's a character named after me, Jeff, you have to realize that it's very rare.
Yes.
Because for folks in the audience, when little Stuart Elmore was growing up, in Huntington, Indiana, going to a private Catholic school.
So bougie.
It wasn't bougie, but no disrespect to my Huntington Catholic folks out there. But, you know, I would get called names like Stuart Little a lot because of the Mouse movie, which John Travolta's not in. Hugh Laurie's in that movie.
Hugh Laurie is in that movie.
We should do a podcast on Hugh Laurie.
The Laurie cast?
Why is your podcast name ideas just their name and cast?
It's good. I mean, I've pitched you on a few sequels. I mean, we're only six episodes into this, like, 66-episode show, and I've already pitched you five sequels.
But so I would get called names like Stuart Little or Stuart the Minion from Despicable Me, Mad TV Stuart. So it's always a joy when I can find,
Yeah, now you can be called after the philandering husband in moment by moment.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed that bit.
But yeah, she's getting divorced with Stu.
Yeah, divorcing me.
And they were having troubles at that time.
Well, so did she have an affair on him? I missed something about that.
No, I think he had an affair on her.
Okay, yeah. I did I wrote down, like, was there an affair already? Because I knew in the movie she was about to have another affair.
I'm telling you, folks, this movie is all business. Like, it's just a lot of stuff being said with no music over it. And people are like, yeah, you cheated on me. And it's like The Room, but with good actors. This movie is like The Room, but with good actors.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it.
Is Jane Wagner
still alive?
Yes. A lot of things just happen and then never have any like importance. Like Greg, he never shows up.
Nope, he never shows up. So there's a parking lot scene.
Yeah, they go to a parking lot.
Where he again follows her and she's in her car ready to leave and he's like trying to talk to her about, I can get you those pills.
Yeah, it's right after the jewelry store where he's just continually following
her. This is the third time now he has like gone in her way.
Yeah, I mean, it's all in the same like shopping trip for her. Yeah. Doesn't make it better, but he's just following her, which is weird.
It's weird and creepy.
And he's just like, yeah, I can get you those pills. My boy Greg can hook
my
me up.
My boy Greg.
Can hook me up.
My boy Greg.
And she's like, no, and then she drives off. And then it goes to a construction site where her husband is like supervising the building of a condominium.
He's an architect?
He runs like a construction company. That's where why he's famous. His name's on the sign.
I don't remember any of this.
I don't know how I remember any of this, but she calls him, and he's like, "I thought you might be at the beach house." Cause she's at the beach house, and he's like, "Help, man!" She's like, "You left the marriage up to me. I'm gonna leave the divorce up to you."
That's weird.
I have this written down. I have a bunch of notes that I took during this movie that I have no idea what they mean. I remember that line. I have one that just says, dent me, with like quotes around it. I don't know. I assume that someone says that in this movie.
Someone may have said the movie. What happens after that, Jeff?
Oh, yeah, but she hangs up on her soon-to-be ex-husband. And then she's on her beach house, and she has a little dog. And then John Travolta just shows up on the beach.
Gramp or what? What was it? I wrote down the names. Because the one's called Corky. There's a new dog that comes into play named Corky. And the dogs are really the stars of the movie.
Yeah, they give me a lot of life when nothing else is.
Yeah. Corky and Scamp? Scramp? I'm going to look this up on IMDb. I'm sure they have the dogs listed.
Let's go into the careers of those dogs.
Full cast... They have to list the dogs in the cast, right?
They do.
Well, because don't they name the dogs in Wizard of Oz, like Toto?
Yeah.
They have that dog listed.
Yeah.
So what? I'm looking up this and I can't.
I just think that no one's really ever cared about putting moment by moment on IMDb. The trivia list is really short. Which, if you've seen any IMDb trivia list, they're never short.
Yeah.
It's always people putting like bullshit facts up, like, did you know that John Krasinski tried out for Ant-Man or whatever.
Captain America.
I mean, he did actually do that.
Yeah.
But it's always people putting up like weird. Like, it's like, yeah. Did you know that Michael Douglas tried out for the role of Iron Man in 2008? It's always weird fun facts.
I think I swallowed a hair.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. It's a long hair.
Yeah. Huh. But he shows up at her beach house.
Shirtless, right?
He has a shirt on at this point.
Does he take it off?
He does later when he goes.
Well, because I wrote down beach scene 2 because I remember beach. Oh no!
Did you not write down beach scene 1?
I wrote down beach scene 1. Okay, yeah. All right, Travolta, because he tells her that he's meeting his friends who aren't
and then
there
none
yet.
None of them show up.
None of them show up. Travolta's so alone, in
and
this.
He's like, and he tells her he's obsessed with her because she covered for him once. He's like, you could have just blamed this on me, and you didn't. That makes you a good person. He's like, she's like. Cool, start following me. Showing up in my beach house.
Like, how does he know where she lives?
How did he find the beach house?
This movie would be fantastic if it was a horror thriller. Like, she falls in love with him and finds out he's a stalker. Yeah,
she banishes him. And then he comes back.
I was like, how well does that work, Jeff?
He comes not back very well. Almost immediately.
And this, what, he's shirtless.
Yes, he's shirtless. And he's like, I got something for you. And he gives her the pills. And he's like, yeah, Greg was hooking me up.
Jesus Christ. And that's when she's like, where are your friends? Like, oh, like they didn't show up. Some friends, huh?
Yeah.
He does like the Tommy Wiseau laugh.
He's like, yeah, some friends. mind you, I've mentioned a few times, but there's not been any music in this movie at this point until or since the opening credits.
I'm just now realizing this.
There is music again during the next sex scene. But up until this point, there's not been any music. It has been dead silent. Except for the characters talking in the waves.
Was that like a creative choice?
It has to have been. Because there is music later, so they like had the money for it.
Why?
Oh, but anyway, it cuts to like the next morning. And he's still on the beach. He just like slept there. I wrote in my notes, he will not stop. With an exclamation point at the end.
Oh, no!
There's some business where he leaves, and then she's driving around and she sees his car broken down on the side of the road.
That's right.
And she pulls over.
Isn't he upset with her at this point because she's like being very standoffish?
Yeah, and she's not letting him inside or whatever. Or something like that.
For good fucking reason.
Yeah, he will not stop. But
he won't.
I wrote down.
The car scene.
Yeah. I wrote down there's some business. Like, he's like, yeah, I need help to come back and fix my car.
It was all prank. It was all a lie.
Yeah.
It wasn't his car. He just found a car on the side of the road, started pretending like he was working on it. Yeah. It had a for sale sign, Jeff.
Yeah.
Would you keep a for sale sign on a car after you bought it? No, you take that shit off.
He's just hanging out.
So he was walking down this highway.
Yeah.
Found a car and said, oh, I know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to pretend like I'm working on this car.
Yeah.
So when Lily Tomlin drives by, which I know she will, because she can't.
And she does.
She's attracted to me. I know she is. And I'm going to pretend like I'm working. Yeah. I'm all alone. I'm on my shirt off. Or my tank top on, you know. Show my muscles. And then guess what? The plan worked. Yeah. Wasn't even his car.
And she actually helps him.
Wasn't even his car.
Yeah.
Who pays for it? Not him.
Yeah.
She does. She pays to get it fixed.
Yeah, he gets a free car out of it.
He got a free car out of it.
And doesn't he say it's Greg's car? Doesn't he claim that it's Greg's car?
Seems kind of shady.
And he's like, yeah, me and Greg share a car. And she's like, oh, is Greg your friend? And he's like, I'm straight. Greg's just a friend. He like insists that he and Greg are not gay, which I don't know why it had to be said, but
that's probably Travolta thing. He said, hey, Jane. And Jane's like, what? It's like, can I add a line in here? It's like, what? What is
it? I just need to emphasize how straight I am in this scene.
And it's like, I just need to make sure the audience is not confused that I am not gay.
Yeah, because like, he's just following this woman. That doesn't tell you enough.
Jane at which point is like, John, no one thinks you're gay. It's like, I just need people to know that I'm not gay, Jane.
Yeah. so.
And then they added the line.
Yeah, for whatever reason, she actually starts getting attracted to him in this moment. And
yeah, the car scene. That was a weird one. She's like, get in the car, we'll get lunch.
Yeah, and they get lunch. I don't remember what happened.
There's a telescope in the background of that. I wrote that down.
There's
a telescope in the background.
This is where we got with this movie.
She's apparently an astronomer or something.
No, she just likes looking at the stars. She's like rich, and her husband runs a construction company, and she just kind of hangs out at the beach house. And she likes looking at the stars.
Okay, cool.
Anyway, he leaves, and then he comes back the next day.
This is when I wrote down, he's a drug dealer?
Oh, yeah.
Or friends with one?
He brings up that he and Greg ran away from home.
I don't think Greg is real, Jeff.
No, Greg.
I don't think Greg is a real person.
He says he and Greg ran away from home.
I really think him and Greg are one the same person.
Well, very clearly Greg was someone because he worked at that store and got fired at the beginning.
He wears a disguise.
But anyway.
Did that pharmacy ever see Greg and Strip work at the same shift?
Strip.
Did he?
No.
I don't think so. So, have you ever seen Strip and Greg in the same room together?
Have you seen Strip and Batman in the same room together?
I don't think so.
I think not.
I think not. So, my hypothesis is that Greg is Strip. Strip is Greg.
That would be a more interesting movie than the one we got, as if it had some, like...
It would be. would be much, much more interesting. So
some Fight Club-esque question, but
there's another car scene, I think.
There's some business with a car.
Well, they go to the gas station to pick up his car. Yeah. That because she called AAA to get it picked up.
Yeah.
And to get fixed. So
he gets his car back.
Well, he asked about her.
Or he gets a car back
in the car scene beforehand, and that like stirred up some
emotions.
But then they go to the gas station.
Yeah.
She pays to fix his car. This creeper who's following her around.
Yeah. This is like Stockholm
syndrome. And he just gets in the car and drives off.
He fucks off. And then the next morning he shows up at her beach house again. And I wrote down the line he says, because he's like, I don't have a place to live. Or he's like, I couldn't get a shower or something. I need to bathe. He's like, may I use your ocean? And she says,
it's
yes.
It's not her ocean.
And she says, yes, and he gets in the ocean.
That's when he takes off his shirt.
And he takes off his shirt.
Does he strip down all the way? I think he wears his like...
No, his name is Strip, but he does not strip.
Well, he strips a little bit.
Yeah. Sometime around that time, they make out or have sex or whatever.
Yeah.
And they sleep in the beach house together. And like I said, it's just because it's PG, it's not R-rated. It's just like an amorphous blob of...
At what point in the movie is she talking to a friend who's getting waxed?
Oh, yeah, her friend. Naomi? Yeah, Naomi. That's the character's name, according to Wikipedia. So she's talking to Naomi, and she's like, yeah, good for you leaving your husband for cheating on you. And she mentions this guy Strip who she's seeing. Oh, no, she doesn't. She doesn't yet.
I don't think she mentions Strip at all.
She doesn't want to be seen as
walk
being,
in and
she doesn't want to be being seen as
Greg
improper.
Delivers the groceries and she just and passes Strip. Him off as a delivery
well,
guy.
That's a little later.
What if
first?
She, yeah. Oh, I want to talk
first,
about scene.
Yeah, we're going to get to it. We're going to get okay. to it. But first he shows up and he's all sad. And he's like, Greg's dead.
How did he die, Greg?
He was killed by a drug, dealer.
Oh, God. What if he was killed by the same drug dealers in Saturday Night Fever?
Maybe.
Except this is in L.A. Saturday Night Fever was in New York.
Yeah, that would be quite a drive.
Would be quite a drive.
But Greg's dead. He was killed by some, like, Don or whatever.
I don't think Greg
sees the crime boss who did it at a party later and just never acknowledges that again.
What?
At the end of the movie.
That happened?
Yeah, at the end he's like, yeah, that's Don Tomasino or whatever the hell his name is. He killed Greg. They just don't talk about it anymore.
I had no idea that happened in the movie.
But,
by the way, it's getting that time my roommate walk in, but if he does, let's just keep the podcast going.
Yeah. No, he walked in already.
Oh, did he?
He's right there.
You're fucking with me.
No, he's literally standing right there.
Oh. Okay, cool.
That happened like 5 minutes ago.
I didn't know that. Hey, Owen.
Hey, I'm trying to be quiet. Sorry.
No worries. No worries, man. We're talking about Owen.
Yeah.
Come here.
With very special guest, Owen Phillips.
Here.
This is such a great episode.
Okay. We're talking about a movie called Moment by Moment. Have you ever seen it before?
What's it about? See, it's got 3 stars there?
Yeah, it's got 3 stars.
Is that your review or something
else? No, this is IMDb review. So it's about this
guy named Strip.
Travolta plays a guy named Strip. That's his name. Lily Tomlin, who plays an older socialite housewife.
As you just learned, named Trisha.
His name is Trisha. I didn't know that was her name before the movie.
The entire thing.
Her name was Trisha. It's an hour and 40 minutes. And I had no... So Travolta gets with Trisha, like, at least makes numerous attempts at doing it, but, and in really awkward ways too. So, Yeah, 24, 25.
Something like that.
And Lily Tomlin at the time was like 30.
Yeah.
No, even older than that, I think. I think
she was
like,
older than him.
Yeah, she was definitely older than him. Like the movie was set to be like older woman gets with a younger guy.
Yeah.
Eventually they do get together. And then they have an affair. Well, they don't really have an affair because she's not really with her husband anymore.
They have an affair. Let's just say that.
And then they break up, and that's the end of the movie.
No, they get back together at the end.
They do get back together?
Yeah.
I literally don't remember anything about this goddamn movie. All right,
I thought Travolting had standards.
It does have standards.
We're in the town of lower your standards.
Yeah. Thank you for adding your input. All right, so that was a special guest appearance by my roommate, Owen Phillips, ladies and gentlemen. So where were we? Talking about the story.
We were talking about some business.
So, Greg died.
Yeah, Greg died.
Greg just died.
Greg's dead. Like, it sucks to be Greg. Yeah.
That's all we know.
I wrote in my notes at this point. I wrote in my notes at this point, I zoned out and then picked up like 20 minutes later.
Wait, but doesn't Travolta show up drunk at one point?
Yeah, he shows up drunk because Greg died.
That's right.
It's the combo of that.
Wasn't there a scene where it was just Travolta and he's like sad in his apartment or something? Which apparently he has an apartment. And he said...
Well, that's after the grocery scene, I think.
This is... When is that in the movie? Fuck.
Anyway, Trisha's friend Naomi shows up at the beach house. And they're talking. And then Strip walks in with the groceries. I cannot remember the...
Sorry.
I cannot remember the...
Back up. You said Greg died.
Yes.
You said he got killed by a gang?
Yeah.
No, I wrote down, quote, Greg OD'd.
I heard...
He overdosed.
No, at the end of the movie, they mentioned he was killed by a gang boss.
I wrote down in quotes, he OD'd. Am I fucking missing something?
Maybe he was given bad drugs or something.
Maybe they made it look like he OD'd.
Yeah. Anyway, Greg dies.
Greg's not
somehow
real.
Crime is involved.
Greg's not real. Okay, so...
This character we never see on screen.
Wait, you're going to the Naomi thing. This is after they had officially started their relationship.
Yeah, they start sleeping together frequently.
And they slept on the sofa together.
Yeah, and it's
and then the next morning, they wake up the next morning, and then things get hot and heavy.
Yes.
So they didn't sleep together on that sofa that night. They slept together, but
they were both present at the same place.
Yes, but then the next morning was when they got down with the sickness.
Yes.
So the next thing I have written down is outside a new dog shows up.
Yeah, a new dog named Corker? Corky?
Corky.
Corky. And, he just shows up on the beach.
And they are like, their body language around each other is like, they're already lovers.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't just like a quick fuck and that's it. It's like, no, we're officially in a relationship now. Because like, he picks up the dog and then he comes and puts an arm around her and they kiss, like they're husband and wife. I'm like, bro, like he was a weird stalker to you like a day ago. So, and then that's when I wrote down that Travolta's 24, Tomlin is 39.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
we later find out that he ran away from home.
Yeah. We've already talked about that.
And then there's a hot tub scene.
He ran away with Greg.
Then there's a hot tub scene. And I want to talk about the hot tub scene. This is before.
I'm just glad we have something that you want to talk about.
This is before. Well, what was the other thing I wanted to talk about? There was something I mentioned to you before. I said, don't let me forget about this that I wanted to mention.
I don't know.
The grocery one. Okay. So two things, the hot tub and the grocery one. The grocery one's like soon after the hot tub one, I'm pretty sure. So the hot tub, he strips down, low key, strips.
Yes.
Strips, okay? He gets in the hot tub. They're in the hot tub, passionately making out, getting really close, getting hot and steamy. And that's when John Travolta whispers into her ear, I love you.
Yes.
Now, Tomlin at this point is just giggling and laughing. She's like, and he's asking, like, do you love me? And she's like, strip. She's like, he's just like, do you love me? And her only reply is, strip. And she says it again. And I'm like, he's already naked. So I assume she's asking for his name. And then at one point he says, well, you love me in bed, don't you? And that's when she smiles and looks up and she's like, yeah, I love you in bed. And then John Travolta gets mad. He's like, I don't want to be in a relationship if we're not like equally devoted to each other or whatever. And it's like, I'm not having sex with you until you say you love me.
Yeah.
He says that in the hot tub and gets out. At some point later, that's when I stopped writing notes.
Yeah.
The last thing I wrote down in my note was hot tub. He says he loves her. She doesn't say it back. Quote, I love you in bed. That's my last note. I'm closing the
notebook. Yeah, I can confirm his thing was blank.
That's the last thing I wrote. So all I remember that happened soon after that was she did eventually say she loved him. And then they continued to have sex.
Yes.
Proceed.
Grocery scene, I think.
Oh. I have an idea for this grocery scene.
Yeah, like an idea. What does that even mean? But so Naomi shows up.
Naomi shows up.
And Trish is like, yeah, I'm just here hanging out by myself. Nobody else. And then Strip just walks in.
Yeah.
He's carrying groceries. He's like, yeah, I got groceries. And she's like, oh, thank you, you street urchin, for carrying these groceries for me. Here is the money that I told you I'd give you. Now scurry off.
And here's my idea. So, Trisha takes the dollar bill, walks up to the Travolta, puts the dollar bill in his mouth, saying, now scurry off. Go, go.
I have no idea what this bit is.
And the Travolta, who is very weirded out at this point, is like, okay. And he leaves. I'm losing my fucking
he does just like go along with it and leave.
I'm losing my mind talking about this movie, Jeff.
What time are we at?
40 minutes.
40 minutes?
40 minutes?
Exactly 40?
40 right now.
Okay, we got another hour and 20 to get through.
Oh, Jesus. I don't know if I could do it.
I'm committed to making this.
We're already halfway through this movie.
This is going to have to be our longest episode. I cannot. I refuse to accept anything less.
Oh, God. Okay.
There's like only three locations in this movie. It's like the beach house, the beach, and like a car. Oh, yeah. But he runs off.
He runs
and then
off.
She's to Naomi like, no, that was my new boyfriend. I feel bad. I told him to leave. I was just embarrassed because he's younger and I'm rich and he's poor. And Naomi's like, that's no reason to not love someone. And so they go off looking for him. They're like, where can we search? And they're like, what about this apartment he supposedly lives at?
And he's not there. Search around New York, or not New York, the city.
Yeah, they go to his apartment and they ask a bunch of like vagrants in the lobby. Mm-hmm. No one knows where he is.
Right.
They go to like a bar. No one knows where he is.
Yeah.
They fail to find him and just like go home. And then he shows up. And he's like, you hurt my feelings. And she's like, I'm sorry. She's like, you want to come to a party with me?
Well, then they make love again.
Yeah, they make love again.
And then they go to the cocktail party together.
They go to a cocktail party.
Which we find Stu.
The crime lord who killed.
I don't remember the crime lord, so I'm just going to take your word for
it. I may have imagined that entire plot line.
Is that the Joseph Schwab credited
Don
as
Santini.
Druggist?
Don Santini.
James Luisi.
The character's name is Don Santini, played by James Luisi.
But we can't forget Burt Kramer as Stu Rawlings.
Yes.
Because he's also there at the party.
Yep.
I don't remember this drug lord at all.
Yeah, I may have imagined that. I remember there was a crime boss who had something to do with Greg. But
I don't think Greg is a real person.
Yes.
No.
He's absolutely a real person.
John Travolta has split personality syndrome in this movie. He's both people. Yeah.
But there's some business at this cocktail party, and they see Stu, and Tomlin's embarrassed, and somehow John Travolta runs off or something like that.
Yeah, he does run off.
Yeah, he runs off.
Do they really get back together at the end?
Yeah.
Fuck.
What I remember.
I mean, I'm starting to remember the scene now that when they do get back together, but it's like, totally blacked that out of my memory.
They argue over their relationship. He leaves, but then Trisha tracks him down and finds him.
There's a lot of tracking down in this movie.
There's a lot of people just
following. He knows where to find her. She knows where to find him. Like, what is it with these people? Do they have an emotional connection? Like a spiritual mental connection, like they're twins, Jeff?
Yeah, so
Jeff?
Yeah.
Are they twins?
Maybe.
Where they know where the other is at all times?
All right. Anyway. She confronts her ex, her current, soon to be ex-husband at this party.
Stu, whose name is Stu.
And tells him that she loves another man.
Yeah.
Oh, there's some business about John Travolta likes making messages in a bottle as well. At some point that comes up, and then he leaves a message in a bottle at her place. It's like, we can never be together. And then she finds him and's like, yes, we can. And he's like, okay. And they kiss, and that's the end of the movie.
Do we really just finish the movie right there? We're at minute 45.
Oh, no, this episode's not over. We're just done talking about the plot.
Oh, fuck me, man.
That's basically the movie. For some reason, she falls in love with him, and then she doesn't, and then he's like, whatever, and then she's like, I actually do love you, and they kiss, and that's the plot. There's no theme. There's no, like, ideas. It's just things happening. Yeah, there's a really funny song at the end called Moment by Moment that apparently did well on the charts.
Great.
The cast was not happy with this movie.
Obviously.
John Travolta's like never talked about it. Lily Tomlin said, we were totally unprepared. We thought it was a sweet, small, lightly funny movie. We were not prepared for what others thought. It's the one thing that all performers live in fear of, total failure. And when it happens and you survive, I think you're probably in a much better place. It made me less cautious. It made me place more importance on the experience of working with other artists than on the reaction of critics or the public. On the other side of the coin, Mystery Science Theater 3000 tried to obtain the rights to use this film, but were turned down by the studio. So they tried to do a Mystery Science Theater on this movie because it was so bad.
Wow.
Yeah, it had a tie-in record and a tie-in paperback novel. I don't know how well those did. I would assume not too well.
We're still only at 45 minutes and 30 seconds, Jeff.
There's a lot left. We got a lot left to talk about.
What more do we have to talk about?
We're going to restart the movie.
No,
we're going to watch the whole thing on this episode again.
It's not in the public domain. We can't do that.
Yeah, but that's actually a good point. Boy in the Plastic Bowl was a public domain, so we could have just actually played the whole fee on this episode.
We could have. I thought about that. Like, what if we kept it running in the background and just paused it and talk about it?
We'll do a commentary of
that'll be a Patreon thing. Yeah. Patreon thing.
Us watching, we are non-existent Patreon. One day, if we ever have a Patreon, this is a pledge that we will do that.
Should we set one up?
Not right now.
Why not right now?
We have to have actual people listening to this podcast.
We have people listening to the podcast.
Six. It's like six people.
Yeah. You know what's going to be amazing is like later down the road, if we get to like
60
thousands or millions of listeners, hear me out. And they binge.
You mean thousands and you refreshing the page 1,000 times?
No, Jeff. I mean thousands of people, millions of people that are watching our
craving,
listening to our podcast. They're going to re-binge it from start to finish.
Yeah.
And they're going to go on to this episode where we talk about, hey, Jeff, you think we should make a Patreon? We only have 6 followers.
Honestly, at this point, no one's listening to this episode anymore. They've all turned it off 10 minutes in.
Yeah, you're probably right. We probably haven't got anybody on this episode yet.
If we have like a little like sliding.
So then we should just say fuck it then and talk about whatever we want.
Well, yes, more or less. That's moment by moment. If this Patreon happens, in addition to Boy in the Plastic Bubble, we will also do a bi-monthly series called Untravolting, where we cover all the non-existent sequels to the movies we cover that do not have John Travolta in them. So we have to cover Carrie 2, Grease 2, Bubble Boy.
So we're including remakes into this.
Yeah, remakes.
Oh.
I mean, this probably won't happen, but...
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about, Jeff?
So here's something. Here's something. I found the Moment by Moment vinyl soundtrack.
Okay.
And paperback novel.
Okay.
Available for sale.
Where?
On eBay.
Are you going to buy it?
Should I buy it right now?
Well, how much is it?
It's $20.
Do it. If it's $20, you should absolutely do it.
All right. All right, folks.
Did you do it?
I'm doing it right now.
Do it! Yeah!
All right, folks, live on this episode, I've ordered the vinyl and paperback release of Moment by Moment.
Congratulations. I'll put in an applause.
Yeah, put in some applause sound effects.
Yeah.
Hooray! I'll be posting it on our Instagram.
And we'll put on our social media. It's like there's a little Easter egg.
Yeah.
On this episode.
This isn't an Easter egg. This is part of the content.
Well, it's like, you know, we've never done it before. Put in a sound effect.
Yeah.
I want to eventually.
I mean, we're going to start here.
I'm going to get a Rodecaster Pro that has like these sound effect buttons that you can like pre-program. So like you can do it live during the podcast. That'd be sick.
That would be pretty sick.
Like we do like zoink.
Like zoinks.
For like anything that happens or like applauses or drum rolls. Yeah.
I can't believe I'm going to have paperback and vinyl. Look at this. Look at this thing.
I'm really looking forward to seeing it. Oh, Jeff's showing it to me. Damn. Okay, that vinyl cover is pretty nice though.
Yeah.
I can't believe you.
I'm going to be single by the end of this podcast from all the John Travolta paraphernalia I'm assembling in my apartment.
Becca's not going to listen to this until a month down the road.
Hey.
What are you doing? What's he doing? Are you showing me something?
I'm taking my shirt off. I'm stripping.
Why are you taking your shirt off, Jeff?
Just because I want
to
show you.
Folks were listening. I can't. Why? Jeff is showing me a shirt that I will not describe to our audience because it's a movie we have not covered yet, and we are going to cover in a big way, so I'm not going to give it away. But Jeff is wearing a shirt that has a movie on it with John Travolta that I cannot tell you. For folks who are good friends of the podcast, you probably know what movie we're talking about. Leave it in the comments below.
Greatest movie ever made. The impetus for this podcast.
I haven't seen it.
You will.
I will eventually.
You will. You will.
And I will probably kill myself afterwards.
Great movie.
Jurassic Park is a good movie.
Yeah, great movie.
Did you have something about Jurassic Park 3 you want to talk about?
Did I have something about? Oh, yeah.
About
I
Ebola virus?
Oh, yeah. That was a complete bit. I have no context for that.
So you're just going to leave me hanging dry?
No, I'm going to talk about Jurassic Park. It's a great movie. They made 4 unsatisfying sequels.
Yeah.
The Lost World is okay.
It's okay.
I kind of enjoy it.
Yeah,
Spielberg is a good director.
Yeah. You know, he video directed that because he was doing Schindler's List at the same time.
Well, it was the other way around. He did the video direction of Jurassic Park on the set of Schindler's List.
That's what I meant.
He approved the VFX effects for it.
Yeah.
Because he shot Jurassic Park, then went right to shoot Schindler's List. And at the end of everyday production, he had to go and approve raptors and like T-Rex CGI.
Yeah. It's a pretty good movie.
You know what movie could use dinosaurs running through it?
Moment by moment.
Imagine if you're watching this movie. Trish and Stripper just hanging out on the beach. All of a sudden, a plesiosaur just comes running out of the ocean.
Literally grabs Travolta by the leg.
Yeah.
And Trisha starts screaming. Travolta is like not screaming. He's just opening his mouth, gaping wide, but no voice comes out. And literally Corky.
Yeah, it's like
tries to save Travolta. He's like, and the dinosaur's like ripping John's leg off, and like eventually it runs back into the ocean with John's leg. John right now is bleeding out in the ocean right now. Trisha runs up to John. She's like, John. He's like, go get help. Get Greg. Go get help. And then the plesiosaur comes back.
Yeah,
and it finishes the job and it eats Travolta, but it also gets Corky in the process.
Oh no!
Oh no! Trisha. At this point, faints.
Yes.
And she wakes up, and there's a bunch of compies nearby.
Yeah, not erker. Compies are pretty cool. I like
compies. Compies are pretty cool.
Yeah. You know what the problem with the Jurassic Park sequels is?
What is the problem with the Jurassic Park sequels?
The best one is The Lost World.
Yeah,
it's the best Jurassic Park sequel.
Yeah, I hate Jurassic World.
The problem is The Lost World is the worst Jurassic Park sequel. It doesn't really build on it at all. Or like the themes or the ideas.
It shows that there's a second island.
Yeah, it's like here's a second
island. Isla Sorna. Instead of Isla Nublar.
Yeah. But it's like we're going to get the dinosaur and we're going to bring them back. The whole bit is that they're like, yeah, people don't want to come to an island. We're going to bring the island to them.
Yeah, it's like a little King Kong thing. They bring the T-Rex to the city.
Yeah, it's like King Kong. But
so I feel like builds up on it.
Just be all part of the point. Point is, Jurassic World is the best Jurassic Park sequel in terms of the idea and the theme. There's like a logical thought there.
But it's just a bad movie.
It's a bad movie, though.
Right.
And that's what's so weird is The Lost World's the best movie, but it's like not a good Jurassic Park sequel.
But can I say...
But the Jurassic World is a good Jurassic Park sequel. It's a bad movie.
Jurassic Park 3 has a T-Rex Spinosaurus fight.
Yeah, the Spinosaurus and wins
I
and fuck that.
Was down for that one.
I was down for it until the T-Rex gets its neck. Its neck gets snapped.
Yeah, the Spinosaurus is huge.
It's so rude of it.
It's huge.
So mean, it's so rude.
It's a carnivore.
It's very.
It's a predator. It needs to kill to survive.
The T-Rex is my best friend. And
the T-Rex would eat you without hesitation.
Yeah, he's my best friend.
He would eat you without hesitation. He would not save you from the Velociraptors like he does in the first movie.
You know,
that's just
Jurassic
absurd.
World where the raptors are like Chris Pratt's friend or whatever.
Also wouldn't happen.
Time Chris Pratt was friends with dinosaurs and they're all like, yeah, it's my boy Chris
it's
Pratt.
My boy Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Blue is just like, Alan.
His name is Blue. It's the raptor's name.
He just says, Alan. But says,
Alan.
Chris. Christopher.
But
I bet they call him formal names too. Christopher. They don't say Chris.
Yeah, but.
And you know, Chris has probably had arguments like, listen, Blue, just call me Chris. It's like, all right, Christopher. Like he never calls him by Chris.
But. Yeah. I want to finish this thought.
The Jurassic Park thing?
Yeah, because Jurassic World is so thematically rich as a sequel. Because if there's anything the past year has proven to us, just because something is dangerous doesn't mean people won't do it.
Hmm.
So it makes so much sense that the company would just do it again.
But say it's safer.
Yeah, and make bigger dinosaurs.
And just say it's
safer.
And
be like, yeah, more teeth or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, that's a rich idea. They would just do it more technologically and say, yeah, it's safer. And then the same shit happens again. All in pursuit of the mighty dollar.
But it's just a bad movie.
Yeah, but it's a dumb movie.
Yeah. You know what else is a dumb movie?
There's a lot of dumb business in that.
You know what else is a dumb movie?
What?
Episode 9, Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, yeah, that movie.
That is J.J. Abrams. Bless his heart. He's made good movies.
The Force Awakens is really good.
Force Awakens.
I have no idea what happened.
Well, I think you said it to me in previous conversation that it's like episode 9 is an entire trilogy in one movie.
Yeah. And it spends so much of its time trying to roll back the previous movie.
Yeah.
The Last Jedi, which is the second best Star Wars movie.
I agree. Behind Empire Strikes Back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's Empire.
And then Attack of the Clones.
People might have thought we were doing a bit and like Carrie when I said The Last Jedi is a great note.
No, we both really like Jedi.
No one is listening to this episode at this point, so we can just spew out a lot of hot
takes.
That's
what I want to do right now.
Just spew if people didn't stop listening when we were talking moment by moment, they stopped when we started talking about Jurassic Park.
Yeah, so episode 8 is my also yeah. I don't know if I'd make it my second. No, I
go Empire. Last Jedi, New Hope.
I think I'd go Empire, New Hope, Last Jedi.
Yeah, that's a totally valid. And like, I was
just
like,
classic.
It's New Hope's the original one, so I feel like
the original. It's you can't beat the introductory aspect of the world of Star Wars.
A New Hope, or just Star Wars, as it was called, and I suppose should be called, is the only perfect Star Wars movie. Just because I don't think a sequel can be a perfect movie.
Yeah.
Just by the fact of it requiring your knowledge of something else to exist.
You know what's been interesting, and I'd say this has been the past 2 years, is a lot more prequel love has been coming back, but particularly to Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, good movie.
You know, and I think the second act is where it really loses. The second act is just awful in Revenge of the Sith. Yeah.
Disrespect to my boy General Grievous.
General Kenobi.
But okay.
We've been waiting for you.
But okay, wait a second. Did you watch the anime of Star Wars: The Clone Wars from 2003? Not the animated Star Wars: Clone Wars series, but the Samurai Jack animation.
Yeah, the
style.
Johnny Tartakovsky show.
Yeah.
Tartakovsky.
That General Grievous was the OG General Grievous.
He's good.
And then they did this General Grievous in Revenge
General
of the Sith.
General Grievous is he's my best friend. My best friends are the T-Rex from Jurassic Park 3, General Grievous.
Why 3?
Watto.
Hold on. Back up. Why is specific to Jurassic Park 3 T-Rex your best friend?
Because that's what I said earlier. He was my best friend. He guys next.
But not the Isla Nublar Jurassic Park original T-Rex.
Yeah, she's cool. But the one from 3 is my best friend.
Hmm. Interesting.
Anyway, yeah. So General Grievous and that T-Rex and me go out clubbing. We hang out. We talk about our anxieties and insecurities. And
what kind of insecurities do you have, Jeff?
I mean, the T-Rex is just really concerned about, like, you know, he eats whole cows. Like, he's like, you know, I just got to watch my cholesterol levels.
What's General Grievous like things he's got to worry about?
He doesn't have skin anymore. So he's like, I don't know. How do I maintain my metallic form?
Yeah.
He's like, do I got to use oxidizer?
Does he sleep?
Yeah.
Does General Grievous have to sleep?
Yeah. But he can never get comfy.
But, like, you got to
admit, only his organs.
You got to admit that the anime General Grievous is better than the live action General Grievous.
He's not as funny.
That's the point, though. It's like the OG General Grievous in the anime.
He's a lot of
no funny business. He is like a silent, brooding killer.
General Grievous is a robot with a Dracula accent, organs that just hang inside of him, a cape, a cough. He collects lightsabers. There's just a lot of bits with him. He's so silly.
My roommate hasn't seen episode 9, and I think we're going to watch it tonight.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I am sorry too.
You know what that movie does do well, though? C-3PO.
A lot of C-3PO, you're right.
It's like the first time he's been relevant in like 30 years.
Yeah. Because he wasn't relevant in any of the Well, he was relevant in Attack of the Clones.
He does a lot of Buster Keaton business.
In Attack of the Clones. Revenge of the Sith, he doesn't really do anything.
He's present.
And then, yeah, Force Awakens, Last Jedi, not much, anything.
He has a red arm, and then he gets it fixed, and then he's like, it is not correct. Oh, dear.
Yeah. I just think people are quick to judge Last Jedi for not fulfilling their expectations. Yeah,
they're quick to judge Last Jedi for being a movie with a thematic point and cohesion and real ideas. Well, that is shot well.
People talk about, like, the same people who hate Last Jedi for being too different are the same people who hate Force Awakens for being too similar.
I don't like Luke Skywalker being sad. It's like,
Do you not know his story?
It's like, do you want a movie where just people are happy all the time? And
it's called Star Wars. They're in a war all the time.
Yeah.
We've hit the hour mark, by the way.
Yeah. Well, we got another hour to go. So,
fuck. Okay.
This is our episode on Moment by Moment, directed by Jane Meyer.
So, Moment by Moment. Yeah. I'm trying to think of anything to revive the moment. Lily Tomlin, what did she do after this movie?
Do you know how much it... never mind.
No, say it.
There's a movie we're going to be covering later called Eyes of an Angel.
Yeah.
Do you know how much it cost to buy a DVD of this movie?
How much does it cost? Jeff is showing it to me. Holy shit! Why is it $185 on eBay?
It's not available anywhere else online.
You've got to be joking me.
There's a possibility I might have to buy this $185.
No, you're not. Like, just put out an Instagram ad and be like, hey, we're looking for somebody who owns a DVD of this movie. Does anybody have it? Can we borrow it? Can we rent it?
I'm going to find somewhere I can watch this movie.
Have you checked Redbox? You can't rent it on Redbox?
You can't rent it anywhere.
Anywhere?
It's literally not available anywhere.
Even the Blockbuster in Oregon?
I am swearing to you this movie does not exist.
Not Hollywood Home Video Express.
You can buy a foreign DVD. You can buy the VHS of it. It would be cheaper for me to buy a VCR and a VHS copy of this movie.
I have a VCR player.
Do you?
I do.
Here in this apartment?
Here in this apartment.
Should I order
some? How much is it?
It's like $10.
Yeah, do it. Right. We'll watch it on, you know, it might be corrupted though. It might be a scam deal because VHS deteriorates over time. But if it's good and we can watch it once and therefore the deterioration is not that bad. Oh, yeah. She's Frankie on Grace and Frankie. Lily Tomlin.
Lily Tomlin, great actress.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, in this movie.
She was Aunt May in Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Lily Tomlin. She was...
am I about to order?
Professor Frizzle in the Magic School Bus Rides Again TV series.
Good for her.
She was... She was in NCIS. She was in Desperate Housewives. She was in Pink Panther 2. The Ant Bully. Remember that movie, The Ant Bully?
That's a movie that exists.
She was Mamo. She was Deborah Fitterer in The West Wing. Margot and Will and Grace, the 2005-2006 run. And a lot of TV series. She was in a lot of TV series. Yeah.
Great actress. We're very happy to still have her.
She was in 9 to 5.
Or 6 to 4.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I mean, she was nominated for one Oscar. What movie was she nominated for? Nashville, 1975. So this is before Moment by Moment. So she was like probably not maybe at the same bar as John Travolta, but like pretty up there.
Yeah.
They both been nominated.
Yeah.
Both not had one, but both nominated.
And they did not win or get nominated off this movie.
When was Travolta nominated again after Grease? Like for an Oscar?
He was nominated for Saturday Night Fever and Pulp Fiction.
That's it?
Yep. Wow. We're going to talk about that.
We're going
to
talk
about that. In movies that will actually have things to discuss.
Yeah. He's nominated for a lot of Golden Globes.
Yeah, because he's a good actor.
Yeah. So, Jeff.
Yes.
Talk to me about something, buddy.
I'm reading Deadline right now.
It's getting a little dire right now. We're having a lot of dead air.
Yeah. No, I'm looking up. Yes.
Can I open a bag of chips? No one's listening. No one's listening to this right now. Right?
No, everyone's listening to this right now. If you were still okay, here's what we're gonna do. Wait. Stop the chips for a second. If you are still listening to this episode, go on to Twitter, hashtag strip lives, hashtag strip lives, tweet at me at Trolting Pod, hashtag strip lives. Or should it be Greg Lives?
I don't think anybody's going to do it.
Okay, strip lives.
Hey, no one's listening to this, so I don't think that announcement is going to be heard by anybody.
Yeah, no, everyone's been listening to this.
No. So with that being said, Jeff, I feel comfortable eating chips on microphone.
Sure.
You're not comfortable with this.
No,
at
that's
all.
Fine.
You're not comfortable with this.
I literally could not care. We've been talking about Jurassic Park and Star Wars for like 20 minutes.
Ollie's, get back from the mic.
Here's some headlines for you that's going on right now.
Give me some headlines.
Spider-Man 3 named Spider-Man No Way Home.
No Way Home.
He doesn't... It's so funny to me that the first one was deliberately named Homecoming. It's like, he's coming home! And the next two have both titles about how he can't get home. Far From Home, No Way Home.
Because of the Sony-Disney deal.
Yeah, I just like how the first one's like, yeah, he's home, finally, Homecoming. It's like, no, he's far away from home. No, he can't get home now. Poor Spider-Man.
You remember when there was so much buzz about Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield being in Spider-Man 3?
Yes.
Because they were going to do like a Doctor Strange parallel universe bit.
Yeah.
Then they stopped it. They squashed it. They said, nope, that's not the plot.
It could still be the plot.
I don't think it will.
It's probably, who knows? I don't. Nickelodeon is launching Avatar Studios.
Are we just reading off headlines?
A division designed to create original content spanning animated series and movies based on the world of Avatar: The Last Airbender. They're making content for platforms such as Paramount Plus and Nickelodeon. So it's going to be like Avatar TV shows and movies.
Let's have a discussion about this right now. What's going to be our highlight clip for this episode?
Avatar The Last Airbender discussion.
What we just talked about?
What was the thing you started laughing at in the middle of Moment by Moment? Was it Greg dies, maybe? I don't know.
Well, there was the dollar bill bit. When she puts the dollar bill.
There was something earlier where you just lost. I think it was when
Greg and Strip are the same person.
No, it's when he died. I first mentioned he died and then he got hit by lightning or something.
So that's going to be the clip?
That's probably the clip.
So we're going to...
Find all the worst parts of this episode. We want people to not listen to this.
We are not self-deprecating our podcast, Becca, if you're listening to this. Do you have anything you want to say to Becca right now, Jeff?
I'm so sorry. please don't be mad. The Halo TV series moves from Showtime to Paramount Plus. I'm gonna see
How about that Lord of the Rings TV series? It's gonna be on Amazon.
Yeah, we're gonna see Master Chief in live action, the thing that we all need.
But how about that
they're rebooting Frasier? What?
But Jeff, I want you to talk about the Lord of the Rings TV series that they're doing on Amazon Prime.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be a good movie. Or a good show. Hopefully it's about like
isn't it a prequel series?
It's about the War of the Ring. Numenor and the War of the Ring.
Yeah.
Which like yeah, fun. Oh my god, Kelsey Grammer's coming back for a Frasier reboot.
Wow. How's Kelsey Grammer doing?
He was in Money Plane last I saw him, so he's thriving.
Wow.
Money Plane, a movie that I wish we could cover on this podcast.
We will.
He's not, John Turturro's not in it.
Oh. Shoot.
He should be, though.
That sounds like a name of a movie that John Travolta would
Money Plane is such a wild movie. If you are still listening to this and you haven't seen Money Plane, I recommend renting it.
No one's listening to us right now.
There's a part in Money Plane where they're like, the Money Plane only launches from a terminal that no one knows where it is. And then it cuts to this, where it just says Money Plane Terminal, undisclosed location. But it's like this huge fucking airport. Like, how does no one know where this is?
What? Or maybe it's just the fact that where the money plane is taking off from is unknown.
No, it's like established that the terminal is hidden.
How is that possible? Like, how does air traffic control, like, let that go?
Because it's the money plane. They got money.
Like, there's planes there.
They got money. It's got a lot of money on that money plane.
Can you walk me through what happens through money plane?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that happen. They have to rip off the money plane. Kelsey Grammer is playing a character named Darius Emmanuel Grouch III, otherwise known as the Rumble. they clearly only had him for one eight-hour day, because all of his scenes are in the same room. He's sitting in the same chair.
Okay.
He delivers a line where he's like, all the baddest motherfuckers in the planet are on that plane, all craving action. If you want to see a dude fucking an alligator, money plane. I have it on Blu-ray. We should watch it sometime.
Okay. I'm down.
It fits very much into like late stage Travolta style movies, but unfortunately he's not in it, so we can't. We're going to do the Grammar Cast or Fraser Cranen or whatever we're going to call it.
We would call that podcast the Instagrammer. No, nothing. I get nothing from that.
I was not looking at you. Sorry.
Jesus hell.
I was sending an email.
Hour and 10 minutes, Jeff.
Still got 50 to go.
Are we really going to go for 2 hours of this shit?
No, everyone stop. Folks.
I will talk about something else with you. Yeah, it's just now we're kind of stalling.
I've been talking about how I'm going to do impressions of all 46 presidents on this podcast. What if we just bang them all out right now?
Oh, for fuck's sake, live in the moment, Jeff. Live in the moment by moment.
Live in the moment by moment. That's a good one.
I'm supporting you.
Yeah,
do it.
Well, I gotta figure out where some of these presidents are from. No, I'm gonna.
Well, George Washington's Virginian.
I'm gonna dole this out over the show. I can't blow my load so quickly. I'm gonna do some highlights right now.
You gotta do it president by president, moment by moment.
My name's Bill Clinton, and I support this message. I've already done Bill Clinton, but in the future, if you're listening to the show,
can you do a Ronald Reagan?
Mr. President, it's not a great Ronald Reagan, but we're gonna trickle down.
Wait, I'm gonna try this. Well, we gotta do some trickle down economics. And the space program.
The space program.
I feel like you gotta like cheat, you know, choose.
The space program, you know.
You're
sounding a bit more like Jimmy Carter, weirdly.
Well, you could say that again.
My name is Jimmy Carter, and I support this message.
That was JFK.
My name is John F. Kennedy, and I support this message. Do not ride in convertibles. Learn from my mistake.
These are all, besides the Bill Clinton are all bad.
Bill Clinton's the only one I can do.
Why did you want to do all 46 then?
Oh, not a crock. Richard Nixon's back.
That's not. Oh, God damn.
You know, our strategery in the Middle East is going to lead us to mission accomplished.
Is this W?
W.
What about doing an older president whose voice you don't know?
Fourscore and 7 years ago.
Is that how Lincoln sounded?
No, that's not. That's bad.
What about James Madison?
Are we doing Hamilton, James Madison, or like real James Madison?
Real James Madison.
Real James Madison probably sounded something. No, he didn't sound like that. Real James Madison probably sounded something like this. From Virginia, after all. I am terrible at impressions.
You are terrible at impressions. It's finally taking you this long to realize it.
No, I've realized it all along.
You have a select few that you're good at. But like in terms of the overall art form of impressions, pick a different career field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
I just need a whole bag.
We have nothing to fear but fear itself.
That was not very good.
That's not it.
I just ate a whole bag of Doritos on this podcast, Jeff.
Folks, here's the deal. Number one.
What was
an attempt at Joe Biden.
Oh, that was really bad.
Yeah, it was really bad.
Because you got to do, whoa, everybody.
He's dying.
This is the Joe Biden Green New Deal. malarkey.
What is that?
It's Joe Biden.
That does not sound like
he's really old.
He's like 78. He's not that old.
78 is pretty old.
I mean, no, it's pretty old, but he's not like on death's door.
I look forward to working with Barack America.
I like how.
Oh, by the way, for folks who might still be listening, Barack Obama just came out with a podcast on Spotify.
Did he?
Yeah, with Bruce Springsteen.
I'm actually reading his book right now.
Really? How is it?
I promise. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's called Renegades, Born in the USA.
If you want to...
Hop on over there.
Yeah, we're hyping him up and hope so hype us up.
former Mr. President Barack Obama, if you're
a fan of John Travolta, come on the show.
Come on the show.
We will talk about literally.
He still lives in Chicago, doesn't he? The Obamas live in Chicago.
They split their time between Chicago and Washington, I believe.
Well, whenever Mr. President Barack Obama, I don't know how to address him. When you are ever in Chicago next, stop by. My apartment in Andersonville, which I will not give the address
away. I'm on his official website right now, and there's a press inquiries form. Sending one in for our podcast.
Do it. Say we are a podcast based out of Chicago.
Based out of Chicago, covering John Travolta.
If there's any John Travolta movie that you, Michelle, or any of your daughters are really passionate about, send them over.
Please come on the show. Barack, we want you on, buddy.
Can you do a Barack Obama impression?
No.
Not good.
It's not good.
Okay. How much do you want to bet? Like, if Barack Obama liked John Travolta, what do you think his favorite Travolta movie would be?
Mm-hmm. I can see him being a Pulp Fiction kind of guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it'd be Urban Cowboy.
Urban Cowboy. Yeah. We still got to record that episode.
We still got to record Urban Cowboy.
Yeah, we haven't recorded that yet.
No one's listening, Jeff.
Yeah, no one's listening.
We're going an hour and 15.
Yeah.
We can go for 45 more minutes.
I don't think we have anything. Should I send this press request to Barack Obama to come on the show?
I triple dog dare you.
Organization. Trouble.
You're going to get home to Becca today.
There's going to be a bunch of secret service in my...
She'll be like, wait... How was the podcast today? It's like, well,
we emailed Barack Obama.
We emailed Barack Obama. Like, what? I think he would probably also like Pulp Fiction. But we already have somebody on the Pulp Fiction episode.
Yeah, we do.
We can't.
We just have to tell Obama. Sorry, dude.
Sorry, Mr. President.
That one's booked.
Sorry, Mr. President. That one's booked. Can we reschedule?
Can we have you on for primary colors?
Yeah. Wait, what if he's the guest for Speed Kills?
Oh, he'd be great.
Well, there's got to be a Travolta movie where it's about politics. Like, does he play a politician in one movie?
Yeah, Primary Colors.
Oh, yeah, sure.
He plays Bill Clinton, or a Bill Clinton type.
So, Mr. President, please come on the Travolta podcast. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And be on Primary Colors.
You know what? I'm going to call it.
What are you doing?
I'm calling it.
You're calling it?
I'm calling it.
All right. You want to take us out, Jeff?
Yeah. I spent money already on this podcast. I ordered a vinyl and a book about this movie that we're never going to talk about again.
We're at an hour and 17 minutes. Yeah. We could not deliver the 2 hours.
We cannot deliver the 2 hours we promised.
Or the 12 hours or the 16 hours that we said in not a recording we have not done yet.
Yeah. Thank you all for listening. If you're still listening at this point.
If you're still listening.
Please make sure to tune in next week for our episode on Urban Cowboy.
It'll be much better, we promise.
It's available through Showtime. It's a movie. It's pretty good. You can watch it. Available on Showtime as of the time of this recording, which is February 24th of 2021. Mileage may vary on whether it still exists. Please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast.
Oh, not this one.
We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and YouTube.
We're going to probably put out a press release to say, like, just skip this one, folks.
Yes, you can just skip this one.
You can just skip this one.
No, we had about 45 minutes of discussion of the movie.
Yeah, about 45 minutes. And then the rest of the 30 minutes, we just kind of jerked off.
You can find us at Travolting Pod on Twitter and Instagram for updates, fun stuff, all that good stuff. You know, we're glad this is being bookended by two good episodes.
Yeah, like John Travolta's career.
Yeah.
He did Grease, then he did this movie, and then he did Urban Cowboy, kind of like what we're doing.
We have a Reddit, r/Travolting. Who knows if anyone's used it? I set it up. I forgot to update it since.
Jeff, I got to pee.
Cool. Thanks for sharing. You can email any comments or questions, travoltingpodcast@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter @JeffWSweeney.
You can find me on @StuartElmore95 on Instagram.
Special thanks, as always, to Rebecca Johnson for our graphic design and Michael Van Bodegem Smith for the theme music that is currently sending us out.
I love you, Becca and Michael.
Thank you all. So thank you, folks, all for listening. Please come back next week for Urban Cowboy. It's a good episode. We haven't recorded it yet, though, obviously. And have a great rest of your week. Stay safe.
Stay safe, folks. Bye.